This is Father's Day, and dads are great people because, you know, dads have a great sense of humor and tell lots of, well, dad jokes. I thought I would bring a few of my favorite dad jokes today. For example, dad joke. What do you call a person who tries to take your cheese? What do you say to a person? See, I already messed up the dad joke. That's because I'm a granddad and I don't have any more jokes. What do you call someone who asks for your cheese? Or what do you say to someone who asks for your cheese? Nacho cheese. All right, I'm going to get by that one. Why do dads take an extra pair? Now I'm rolling. Why do dads take an extra pair of socks to the golf course? They might get a hole in one. That's right. What did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet? Supplies. What did the ocean say to the beach? Nothing. He just waved. Here's another one. How does a taco say grace? Anyone? Bueller? Let us pray. That's right. Oh, here's a good church one. Where do you learn to make a banana split? Sunday school. Where do boats go when they get sick? Come on, you know that. A boat dock, that's right. Did you hear the rumor about butter? Well, I'm not going to spread it. Okay, enough of that. Dad jokes, they're fun because dads are fun. Good dads are fun. But being a dad is no joke. It is the greatest opportunity and responsibility of life. This weekend, we are celebrating faith. We always, on the Lord's Day, this day, we gather the church. And isn't it good to be back together again? We appreciate those who joined us on PowerPoint Ministry and of course, online. But it's so good to be back in the house. Be in God's house, God's church, on God's day every week. So, We celebrate on this day our faith. It's a day to gather and then to go in Jesus' name with the witness of the gospel, our message of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. This has also been a weekend where we have celebrated freedom. Yesterday was Juneteenth. June 19th, 1865, the Union Army showed up in Galveston, Texas and freed the slaves 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was given by President Lincoln. The word finally reached all the slaves all across the South. Down in Texas, it became known as Juneteenth, and it's now a national holiday. And it reminds us that all people are created equal, and everyone has the right to equality and the opportunities to live fully in this great country, America. And I believe Juneteenth and July 4th are vitally connected together. So we give thanks to God. On this weekend, we can celebrate faith, we can celebrate freedom, and yes, we do celebrate fathers today. Men who are dads, and all men who are children of the Heavenly Father, we have a great life and a great legacy to live and to give to the next generation. I'm calling this message, Man Up. Because as I told you earlier, my prayer is that this will be uplifting to all the dads and to all the men and women, families in the church today. But I really should call it Next Man Up. Sometimes on a team, when an athlete goes down with an injury or perhaps retired, you may hear the coach say, Next Man Up. And so every man in every generation has the privilege of being up to the challenge that God has given us. What's happening in our world today, men, is on our watch. It's on our watch. And I don't have to repeat all the problems that we have in our culture right now at this point today, but you know the problems and the deterioration of our culture and our society. And men, this is time for us to rise up, to stand up, and to say something. Not to sit down and shut up, but to stand up and speak up, and to love and lead like never before. To love and lead like never before. The text that is before us today is 2 Chronicles 16:9. How many of you have your Bibles? Would you hold up your Bibles? Let me see your Bibles. A screen counts as long as you're not looking at social media on it, if you're looking at your Bible. So glad you brought your Bibles today. You'll get so much always when Pastor Connor is up here preaching, me, anyone else. You'll get so much more out of the message when you bring your Bible. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, here's a great verse. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to him. You have been foolish in this matter, therefore you will have wars from now on." There will be chaos, confusion, wars, no peace, because so often men do not stand up to the call and the challenge of God as the God who is seeking. It says here, the eyes of the Lord are moving, scanning, searching throughout the whole earth to show himself strong and to support those whose hearts are completely his. If I was just giving you an expansion of this verse, when it talks about those whose hearts are devoted to him, the word is wholeheartedly here in the Christian Standard Bible that I was reading today. But it can also mean true, hearts that are true, hearts that are trustworthy, hearts that are full of integrity, hearts that are loyal, hearts that are blameless. One gives it hearts full of integrity towards God. So God is looking for men and women whose hearts are wholly given to him. Totally and completely given to him with integrity. Men like David, of whom it was said he was a man after God's own heart. God wants us to live with whole hearts. That we would love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds, and all of our strength. Wholeheartedly. God doesn't want part of you. God wants all of you. I was speaking to the students at camp this week, and I reminded them how important it is not to be a part-time Christian, a fringe believer. When I was at student camp, 15, 16 years of age, they were singing a song that year at camp. It was kind of a camp theme song. "I take hands off my life. It is no longer mine. I take hands off my life. Let it be forever thine. Help me to walk each day just for thee. All the heart of me, every part of me, just for thee." And somehow, obviously, after all those years, that song is still echoing in me. I'll never forget it, because it was that time that I gave my life in complete surrender to the call of God upon my life. When I said, "Lord, I don't want you just to have a part of me. I want you to have all of me. Lord, I don't want you just to have prominence in my life, but Lord, preeminence, preeminence in my life." Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all the things that we need will be added to you." Jesus first should be the theme. Jesus all should be the theme of our lives. Wholehearted commitment to Christ. The eyes of the Lord scanning, running, roaming, looking throughout the whole earth to find people whose hearts are completely his. Clarence Williams is the chairman of our Prestonwood Deacons. Chair, I lost you. There you are. And Patricia, thank you for your service teaching God's word here at our North Campus, now leading our deacon body. We just announced this week also a big, big announcement at Prestonwood Christian Academy that Mike Goddard has asked Dr. Williams to come alongside of him. What a great 1-2 punch as chief vision officer of Prestonwood Christian Academy, both the North Campus and the Plano Campus and all the entities of our school. And we're so grateful for you, Clarence, for accepting that call of God upon your life. Imagine that, Mike Goddard and Clarence Williams side by side, wholehearted for the Lord. You talk about two men who are wholehearted. I call Dr. Goddard Super Mike. I mean, he's everywhere. And Mike grew up here in our North Campus at one point and has been a deacon here as well. But I mentioned Clarence to you today because our deacon theme for this year, for all of our men, that as Clarence is leading our servant-hearted body of believers, the deacons, wholehearted, wholeheartedly. God is searching for men and women who will uphold the standards of truth and righteousness in our culture. He is hunting for men who will swim upstream against the current. Like salmon, swimming upstream against the current rather than catfish who feed on the bottom. God is not looking for popular men or wealthy men or powerful men and certainly not perfect men, but men whose hearts are loyal to him, men whose hearts are given to him, men who are truly his. When God was appointing a new leader for Israel, and when we get to the promised land here in a few months, the Holy Land, we go to the place where so many of these scriptures come alive to us. By the way, we do have some spaces left on our trip to Israel. Just go to prestonwood.org. We have a few spaces left, and we would love to have you go with us. Rick Briscoe is going to be with us leading in worship. It's going to be a great, great experience. A trip to Israel is the Bible in HD. It's a front row seat to the Bible. And Joshua had a front row seat to the promised land as he was assuming the responsibility after Moses had been leading the children of Israel all those years. And Joshua had to be wondering, though he was a veteran soldier, yet he had to be wondering if he was capable, if he was able. Because in Joshua 1 and verse 9, God says to the new leader of Israel, "Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or dismayed, discouraged, for the Lord is with you wherever you go." Again and again and again in Scripture, this passage and throughout the Bible, we're told, men and women, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so how are we to be strong and courageous? How are we to step up to the challenges of being a parent, of being a man of God? Because there's maleness and then there's manhood. And then there's man of Godhood. When you become a man filled with God and living in the fear of God. To live like men, not boys. Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Caleb was such a man. He was a friend and a cohort of Joshua. Those two men stood against the tide. They weren't catfish bottom feeding, but they were swimming upstream like salmon when they gave the report going into the promised land that even though there were giants and the majority of the group who spied over there in the promised land said, "We can't do it. They're too big. They're too strong. We're like grasshoppers in their sights." It was Joshua and Caleb said, "Yes, there are giants and there are powerful forces and there are enemies, but God has given us this land. We can go. We must take the land." And those two men, Joshua and Caleb, though the rest of Israel in the longest funeral possession in history, procession in history, died in the desert because of their unbelief. Joshua and Caleb endured. And so in Numbers 14 and verse 24, it says, "But since my servant Caleb has a different spirit and has remained loyal to me," that word means steadfast, it means wholehearted. It's the same word we find in the passage that we just read. He said, "Because he has remained loyal and wholehearted to me, I will bring him into the land that he has gone, and his descendants will inherit it." That's a legacy. That's the living legacy of Caleb and any man or any woman who lives their faith in God and trust in God. The land where they lived was named Hebron. Face to face with God. This is all about strength. Strength of character. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, "Be on guard. Stand firm in your faith in God. Act like men." Be a man, God's man. Be a man, mature in faith. Be the kind of man that when you get up in the morning, when your feet hit the floor, the devil and his crowd say, "Oh no, he's up." That kind of man. Strong and vital and virile. Blameless towards God. Not perfect. There are no perfect men except the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. But men of character. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher of Britain of yesteryear, in fact, yesterday was his birthday, was talking about character. And he said, "A good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you. So carve your name on hearts, not on marble." Carve your character, your name on the hearts of those who love you, who are helped by you. This is the strength of character, and it is the greatest strength of all. It is the strength of faith, this fortitude. The strength that we're talking about is not bravado. It is not ego. The strength that we're speaking of is a strength like Jesus, who was gentle and meek and mild, yet strong, humble and gentle. Strength with grace. That stands firm in faith and true in conviction. This is the character. This is the kind of faith that fights for your family, that stands for truth, and yes, that finishes well. My friend Robert Wolgamuth has written a new book called Gunlap. Gunlap. You know what the gunlap is? If you participated in track, especially long distance running, you know what a gun lap is. You get a gun to start, crack, and everybody bursts from the starting line. But when you get to the final lap in a long distance race, there's another gun that pops, signifying you're on the gun lap. You're on the last lap. So give it all that you have. The gun lap is giving everything you have left. The gun lap is a sprint to the finish line. Not limping to the end, but living out and leaping to the end. Running with all the strength that God gives us. And did you know, no matter how long you've been running, there is strength for every day. And strength that comes from God. But this is the gun lap. For some of us in this room, we've heard that gun lap go off. We're on the final laps. And remember, whatever stage or age you are in life, there are no do-overs in life. No mulligans on this golf course. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And if it is appointed unto us once to die, then clearly it is appointed to us once to live. Once to live and once to die. And whether you realize it or not, your last lap is coming. You may be very young, but on your last lap. You don't know when the finish line will show up. And therefore, it is the gun lap. What does it require more than anything? What does the gun lap require more than anything? The last lap, heart. Heart. To be all out and all in. If I was a coach, I could give you a little coach speak about the gun lap. The Apostle Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. He said, I press on, not looking behind, but looking forward to the prize and leaning in, running hard to the finish line. And so if I was a coach on the gun lap, I would say, keep your eye on the other runners just to know where they are, but keep your focus on the finish line, right? I mean, be aware of what's happening around you, who's beside you, who's behind you, maybe who's in front of you, but keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the finish line. I would also say, when you're running the gun lap, when you're running the last lap, whenever that is in your life, then make sure that you push through the pain. There will be pain. In life, it's not always easy, like racing and running, when you can barely breathe, when you wonder if you could get another step, when you wonder if you're gonna make it to the end. There's going to be pain in life. There's going to be struggles in life and suffering in life. But what do? When we're running the lap, the gun lap means that we push through the pain, that we keep going, and that we never quit with God's help and by His grace, we push through the pain. And the last thing I would say is, in your life, save something for the gun lap. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to run a race, you better save something for the end. So I'm saying to all of us, save something for the gun lap. Give yourself unreservedly to God, but pace yourself in life so that when you come to finishing time, that you'll finish strong. So how is your heart? How are you running? The eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro, running, roaming, looking for men whose hearts are wholehearted for Him, for women who are devoted to Him. David, the great king, was on his last lap in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And David was about to leave a dynasty and a destiny to his son. God had appointed Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba, of all things, to be the successor of David's kingdom. And so David wanted to guide him and help him get through. And Solomon needed provision and direction and preparation. This son needed something from his dad. This young man, probably a teenager when this conversation takes place, 13, 14, 15 years of age. And some even wondered if he was worthy, being the son of Bathsheba and David, to be the king. And so what does a father say on the last lap, leaving a legacy to his son? Well, we are privy to this conversation. And it's found in 1 Chronicles 28, 9 and 10. He says, as for you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve Him wholeheartedly. There's that word again. Serve Him wholeheartedly and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches, there's that word again. The Lord searches every heart and understands the intention of every thought. And if you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you abandon Him, He will reject you forever. Realize now, The Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. What great words for a man to pass to his children. I often say, don't focus so much on leaving a legacy. Focus on living a legacy, and the leaving of the legacy will take care of itself. David lived a legacy. He was by no means a perfect parent. He was certainly not always a great man. He sinned against God. Though not a perfect man, he was a man after God's heart. He was wholeheartedly in. Just read the Psalms written by David. Read the story of David going up against the giant as a boy. All the days of his life, David was a man wholehearted after God. He had a wholehearted and a willing mind. And so when it comes to the end, when it comes to the gun lap for David, what's he going to say to prepare his young son for the dynasty and the destiny that God had given this young man? He gave him four specific instructions. Number one, know the God of your father. Know your father's God. So very important that when we pass our faith, that our faith get it. Our children get it. Young people, it's great to have a father, a mother who has faith, and trust in God, but are you trusting in the God of your father? Is God your father? Is God your God? Know the God of your father. And if you have a father or a mother, a parent who loves God and has a whole heart for God, get on your knees and give thanks to God for that. Know the God of your father. Secondly, worship God with your whole heart. Thirdly, serve God with a willing mind and a whole heart. Serving God all the days of your life. And seek Him with all of your heart. Those four specific things right there in 1 Chronicles 28:9. That's a living legacy. These are wise words that we can pass to our children. Like David, no one of us is a perfect father or a perfect man. But there is so much encouragement here, isn't there? In reading the tender words of a father to his son. This is the legacy of the next man up. That we pass our faith to the next generation. And that you, young men and young women, will know the God of your Father and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "You have seen me, you have seen the Father." Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Do you know God? I mean, not about Him, but do you know Him? Have you come to the place in your life where you know for certain that if you were to die today, if this was your gun lap, and if this was your last lap, do you know for certain that you would break the tape and right into eternity, into the presence of God? Do you know for sure that if you died today that you would go to heaven? You say, "Well, I don't know. I'm not certain." You can know. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life, even to them who believe on His name. So to believe in Jesus by trusting in Him, what He did for you on the cross and dying for your sins, to rise again on the third day. This is the gospel. This is the good news, that we're not saved by self-effort or human works, but by the grace of God, the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Have you come to that place in your life where you have given your life to Christ, your heart to Jesus? Here's the way the Bible puts it. It says, if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. Have you believed in your heart? Have you trusted Him deep within? Today we want to give you an opportunity to do that. We're going to pray a prayer together, and then I'm going to invite you to come forward and publicly stand for Christ. The act of coming forward will be a profession, a confession of your faith, to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Not that you're going to make a speech when you come down here, but the act of coming forward, just walking down this aisle, will be saying to everyone in here, I am following Jesus today. I'm putting my faith and trust in Christ now. So pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, I believe and trust in you. Thank you for loving me and dying on the cross to rise again. I believe. I believe. So right now, the best I know how, with the faith that I have, I put my trust, my faith in you. Be my Savior, be my Lord, be my Master, my friend. Invite Christ into your life. He said, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice, I will open the door. And open the door, I will come in. Open the door of your life to Christ. And then when we stand to sing in just a moment, be the first forward. Be among the first who come forward today to say, I'm following Jesus with all my heart. You don't need more religion. Most people need to stop enduring religion and start enjoying salvation in Christ. Come to Jesus today. Trust in Jesus today. There are others, you're a believer, but you want to be baptized at some future date. You want to follow Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come and make that decision today? Because it's so important that every believer be baptized as a testimony of faith. There are others, you're a baptized believer, but you're looking for a church home, and you found it here at Prestonwood. You believe God is leading you to join this church today. And I want to invite you forward. Again, our pastors will be here at the front to receive you, to welcome you, and we will receive you as we receive members. If you've not been baptized, as we understand the New Testament teaching of baptism, we'll ask that you be baptized as a testimony of your faith. If you're a baptized believer in Christ, you can join today and be a part of this great church, taking the mission of Christ forward. Will you come with your whole heart? We don't need half-hearted believers. We need whole-hearted believers to join with us in our mission, in commitment to the Great Commission. Lord, how we thank you for your word to us, the life-giving power of Jesus in this place by your Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, move and work in each and every one of our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.